My name is Matt Koenig.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change.
We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories.
What's up, Rockstar Nation? Matt here, co-founder of Rockstar Events and your host of the Rockstar Unplugged podcast and Rockstar Moments Live. Today is probably one of my favorite days to do what we do because I'm geeked to have someone who we absolutely love. We believe in what he does, and he's an absolute freaking rock star for his dealers. Unless you've been under a rock, you've probably heard of him. But if you don't know the name, ladies and gentlemen, you need to share this out and put your hands together from a main man from Car Biz Done Better, Sean Welsh. What up, Sean? Good to have you on the show.
Hello, Matt. Thanks a lot, Matt, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Dude, we appreciate you being on the show, man. Thank you so much for being here. Excited. Now, you're out in lovely Wisconsin, and I say lovely because right now it actually is, right? Good weather, good stuff.
Correct. No snow, a little bit of sun, no clouds. Beautiful day in Wisconsin.
Now, normally I know you're on the road and stuff, so I appreciate the fact that while you're getting a little bit of time home with Stephanie, like that you're breaking off some time to kick it with me. So thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. So I know we're coming up to Rockstar here in a couple weeks. People are going to be just excited as hell to hear you out there and to see you out there. But before we get into the nitty gritty of the biz, one thing I like to ask people that are on the show to help folks get a little bit more insight into who people are is this. Would you just take a few minutes, man, let people know a little about your background, you know, where you grew up, how you grew up, and tell people what you wanted to do as a kid. And while you're sharing that, I'm going to share this out in a bunch of groups so people can tune in. But tell people a little about your upbringing, man, and who you are outside of Car Biz Done Better.
Yeah, man. I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. You know, hardworking parents. That my mom was an entrepreneur, owned her own business, and still does to this day. My dad was an executive with a big candy company out of Chicago called Brock's Candy back when I was a kid. So moved out to the northwest suburbs, you know, about seventh grade, and really started to figure out kind of, you know, who I wanted to be and what I wanted to become. Right. So at that time, it was baseball all day, every day. My whole life was baseball. My dad got to a certain level, and he hoped that I would get to a level past that, right? So we committed our whole lives to it, day in, day out, every day you could think of, from the fall to the winter. There was a place to swing a bat, throw a ball. I was doing it. So that was my whole life. And then I hit high school and had an opportunity to look at some colleges, but I ended up getting hurt. So it really didn't work out for me. And when that happened, man, I just kind of stumbled into the car business. You know, I was detailing cars at 16, and it was for my buddy's dad owned a auto body shop in town, and he said, hey, why don't you guys get those cars clean before I give them back to customers? I'll pay you per car. And then I said to my buddy, I said, well, hold on a second, if he's willing to do that, there's got to be other people willing to pay us to clean their cars, right? So I went to a bunch of local dealerships, started knocking on doors, and they're like, look, man, we got a guy that does it in-house. He can get five done a day. I said, yeah, but you probably need 10. And then we started making deals with other dealerships, having them bring us their cars, charge them a flat fee per unit. So really got that entrepreneurial spirit, you know, really right about 16 years old. You know, as soon as I could drive cars, I started to figure it out. And in Chicago, you can't sell cars till you're 18. So I detailed, worked my way. And then as soon as my 18th birthday hit, here we go. I got into selling cars. And I've either sold cars or I've sold men's suits. That's been my whole life. Those are the two things I've sold. Besides some Cutco knives very early on, right, for any good salesman. But yeah, dude, that's how I roll. That's what I did. I've been a salesman, an entrepreneur my whole life. My mom will tell the story about how my first company was actually called SJW Cleaning Service. I was not satisfied with what I was being given as a, you know, kind of a kid salary, as you will, right? Just like, here's your money for the week. Have a nice time. I was like, yeah, that's cool, but this needs to be clean. That needs to be clean and straightened out. How about I do all that and you pay me more, right? And so my folks got on board with that. So I've always loved selling. I've always loved being an entrepreneur. And so, yeah, I did selling suits, selling cars. That's my gig. That's what I do.
So talk to me about selling suits. Was it like Men's Warehouse? Was that your jam?
Yeah,
dude, I love it. I love it. That's so awesome.
I was the youngest GM in the history of the company.
And
this is a little bit of a touch note here for Rockstar, but I worked side by side with the guy you used to see on the commercials.
George Zimmer, right?
Yep. Used to walk side by side. Promoted me, talked to him, been on his jet, traveled his life, seen it. And that's those are the tips, bro, from that dude specifically that I'm bringing to Vegas. Taught me, and I'm telling you, it's going to blow people's minds because it's basic but super specific, right? So, yeah, man, Men's Warehouse, youngest GM. I was like 20 years old when I got my own store in the North Shore of Chicago. Yeah, dude, just one of those things that I love doing. Men's Warehouse teach you how to be a salesman, man. Teach you how to be a salesman. If you've ever been in one, it's a deal, right? You go in, you look for a suit, you get shirts, ties, shoes, whatever. That's what selling's all about, and not enough people sell things. Too many people just get to the end, get to the pencil, and there's just so many steps between, right? So I'm skipping ahead, but love selling suits. If I wasn't selling cars, I'd probably be selling suits.
Dude, I love this, and this also explains why, even like, because we're both to an extent pretty casual, but you've always got like a banging blazer. Like every time that that you and I have been in the same room, when you came down, when we did the Carb's Done Better and Rockstar did the vendor education workshop. We're both in jeans, but you've always got just a badass blazer. And I'm like, man, I just got to drop some LBs so I can find one that looks good and feels good. Oh, man, it looks like Sean froze for a second here. But while we're waiting for his connection to jump back in, because I know he's doing it from home with his mobile. Oh, good. He's back. So one thing I want to tell you guys. Dude, no worries. I live on mine. We would be doing this just phone to phone if not for all the stuff I need to merge in and out. That's why the MacBook's here. But I do love that about you, dude. I love that you're always, one of the things that really struck me when you folks spoke at our at Rockstar for the first time, one of the things I loved about you is that I always feel like you're genuine, right? Like you're the same cat when you're on stage as you are when we're having a conversation. Off to the side, like I always feel like you're a genuine human being. That just makes me, I gravitate toward people like that. And it's one of the things Chris and I were talking about before is like, man, we love Welsh. He's a real dude. Now, talk to me a little bit about how that translates into the work you do with dealers, because a lot of folks out there do quote unquote consulting, right? We see, can tell you how many people were, decent car salespeople or good car salespeople or decent vendors. And then all of a sudden they go out on their own. They're like, oh, I'm a consultant. And I'm like, well, I can consult on shit too, but it doesn't mean I know what the fuck I'm talking about. So talk to me about, because I know sometimes, people can get a little like, whatever, when somebody's just, bold and in their face. But I imagine you've had some of the dialogues I've had with dealers where you look them in the eye and go, what this shit that's happening is failing. So talk to me, what do dealers love about you? What are some of the challenges you've had to overcome in your business when you're working with dealers?
Look, man, as far as it goes, it really comes back to passion, right? So when you talk about how I am on stage or how I am off stage, it's because of the passion for the industry, right? Passion for the job. I love what I do. And so it doesn't feel like work to me. And I'm here to be honest with people.
Where dealers are just sitting there going, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'd rather complain than be proactive and make a change, right? And that's what I think a lot of people are open to doing. I think with technology, look, man, these people all have there's trade pending, right? One of the best tools out there. These guys all have it on their website. They're willing to do it for lead submission, but they're not willing to commit to the number. And that's my biggest issue. Stop saying your presence is your best leverage. Stop saying that to your customer. They don't believe that anymore, and they know it's not true. It's the same reason that 7 years ago, leads at dealership websites were going through the roof, right?
Yep.
What happened after that? The consumer figured out it was going to be the same experience online as on the lot. The second I submit a lead, they're going to harass the shit out of me. They're not going to listen. They're going to have their own way of doing business, and I don't want to deal with that. Well, now what's happened is phone calls, thanks to technology and click-to-call technology on your phone, is through the roof, right? Dealership phone calls are rising 20, 30, 40% a month. Yet, dealerships still have no clue what's going on with their phone ups. Zero.
Nope.
No clue. And I have to hear about, oh, the ups are down, I think, or I feel. Dude, save your feelings for your therapist. Bring me some facts. Do you or don't you know what's going on? And if you don't know, why don't you know? You see, these are the bigger problems. If you're going to come and say you have a traffic problem, you better know every single effing thing about your traffic before you tell me it's your problem. 9 times out of 10, you have a selling problem, not a lead problem.
I love what you just said because, like, I'm a big Ben Shapiro listener. I just love his just to the point stuff. And one of the things he always says is facts don't care about your feelings. And you just hit it right on the head. Like a lot of folks, when you go, how's business? Oh, it's up or it's down. Why? Oh, I feel like it's because. Well, didn't ask that. Why? Why is it? You know, we've got all the technology. You've got great companies out there, multiple ones, CallDrip, Interactive Tell, that can tell you every metric on a phone call. But the one thing that dealers that I've talked to a lot aren't doing is actually listening to the calls. I remember back in the day when we first got call recording technology, we would actually, as a sales manager, every day, the first 45 minutes of my day, I spent listening to every call from yesterday. So what I did every day in the morning, we had our sales meeting, I motivate, inspire my team, get them jacked up for the day, and then I go, boom, for the next 45 minutes, I'm listening to all the calls from yesterday. I'm making notes. I'm sitting down doing my one-on-ones with all of my team to go over that stuff. Now, I think personally, and I want to hear your take. My personal thing I've been saying is the biggest area that I think dealers can improve, because you said it's like from here up, and I agree. I think the biggest area they can improve is here up in the leadership role. I think that's, leaders are the biggest struggle we're having, right? The things that you and I were taught to do before our CRM did everything on autopilot, all the meetings with our salespeople, everything. I don't see a lot of that happening anymore in the people I'm talking to. What do you think, if there was one like easy right now fix a dealer could do, like if they made a decision today? Oh, and by the way, a comment Dara said earlier, my girlfriend Dara, who's out in Washington, hey love, said another thing dealers can do is buy cars in their service drive.
I was gonna say the same thing. And right, her background speaks to that. It makes a lot of sense. That's why I go back to the lead issue versus the selling issue, is that dealerships have databases that are 5, 7, 10, 15 years old, and all the customers you need or have ever wanted are sitting right there. There are equity mining tools throughout. There are service drives. But the problem with the service drive, Matt, is we can't go out there and just acquire a trade, right? We have to go out there. We have to go, okay, here's your trade. And by the way, we're going to put you – it's not necessary to just jump on someone and say, look, let's skip your car and get to the sale of the new car because that's what I care about. If you were smart, and I'm hoping people are, what they should do is they should go home, go back on to the dealership service floor the next day they show up and just look to acquire trades. Because, guys, what happens if you buy a customer's trade? They got nothing to drive, Matt. They got to buy a car. So just don't even ask about your car. Don't even talk about your car. Just talk about how beautiful theirs is, how prices have never been higher, the value's never been better. This is the best day of the last 5 years to sell me your used car. Here is an offer. I can have a check in 3 days. Oh, my God. Isn't this wonderful? Then the customer says yes, and then they stop. They take 3 seconds. They go, well, wait, what am I going to drive? Boom. Come with me. Let's show you what we have. Done. That's how we did it. Bro, when I started in at one of my dealerships, in order to get to know the lay of the land, I drove the shuttle. I showed up at 7 a.m. to drive shuttle. You know what you learn in the shuttle? Why people hate your dealership and why they hate their car.
Bingo.
That's all you learn in the shuttle. Bitching. And I'm wearing a normal hat. No one knows who I am. They don't know that I'm, you know, a manager. Doesn't matter. I'm just the service shuttle guy. That's all I am. And they just talk and talk and talk. Then you see where they work, where they live, how they do business. That's what we're trying to do. Listen to your customers. I'm again jumping ahead to Rockstar, but that's all I'm going to be talking about, dude. Start listening and stop selling. Okay? Your selling is not, it's not even necessary today in the world of commerce, the way we do it. People already know. They've done their research. They're already in. All they need you to do is get them in the right car. Be a consultant to their needs.
Stop it's amazing to sell them. How easy that is, right? I mean, at the end of the day, would you agree that, like, even with all the tools that have been created to make our life easier, that for reasons known only to God, it seems like we've made the business harder? Like, I feel like we're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes sometimes, right? We're so interested in, I was talking to a dealer, 3 weeks ago, and I was like, what's going on? Like, why are you struggling to get people from the point of communication in the door? And literally his response was, because my people aren't taking control of the customer. And I went, oh my God, dude, why are you trying to control that other human being? You know, there's the he who has the gold makes the rules. They have the money. And his response was, yeah, well, I have the car. I'm like, are you, I literally said, are you that fucking stupid? And he goes, what? Yeah, isn't that stupid?
Say, good news. We figured out your problem and it's you. So we're, I mean, that was easy. I'm glad we did this. That was a fun exercise. Now I got to get going, but I'm glad that we did this for each other.
Yeah,
that's like, car therapy, bro. That's my whole life. My clients, I'm a therapist. I'm here to help my clients talk through issues, see things a different way, be on board with the idea as far as I can be. But if I know it's a bad idea, I got to say it. But I got clients who will hear me say it and not care. They'll be like, yeah, no, I heard you, bro. It's cool. I'm still going to do it. And then 90 days later, they're looking at me going, my bad. I shouldn't have done that. Let's not do that anymore. And it's like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Like, I got, when we started the company, I had to go out of my way to make sure people knew I was the smartest guy in the room, make sure they knew I was right. Over the last 2 or 3 years at stores, I don't care because I don't say things typically unless I've got a good reason to say them to clients. And so their success and failure will be obvious to them over time. I don't have to point it out. I got clients all the time telling me, Sean, we're selling all these cars since we signed you up. This is so awesome. You're the best. Nope. I don't have anything to do with selling cars, bro. People sell cars, not vendors, not me, not nothing. Human beings sell cars. Stop worrying about what to attribute the sales to unless you're talking about which salesman to give credit to. That's what this is about. There's no more about the customer's going to go to 18, 20 websites before they get there. Stop trying to figure out a 1/18th car deal. It's useless. Focus on the need of the client and listen. If you just listen, what's the saying, right? 2 ears, one mouth for a reason. Right? And I'm guilty. I get it. I've tried. Okay, I talk a lot, but I also listen a ton, especially the older I get, the more I listen, because I find that if I listen more, I won't have to talk as much because people will tell me in their own conversation what I need to do to help them. I don't have to just tell them. They can tell me. And that's a big part of what we try to help out with, man.
Now, you just touched on something so valuable that it's all about people, right? I've wrestled with when I hear dealers, you know, I hear vendor A say, cut every third party, put all your money into driving people to your website. Vendor B says, you know, you don't even need a website because customers go here. Now, I am of the mindset, I've said it a million times, if you think, well, I'm gonna get off cars.com, like, now listen, I'm a little partial to cars.com because I worked for them for years and I love Alex Vetter and all the folks there.
But one of those people who still likes the company they worked for. So yeah,
well, I like those people, but I also liked it because out of all those third party sites, right, it was always sorted most of least expensive. It was simple. And I know TrueCar does a lot of that too. The only one I give a little guff to is AutoTrader because the whole pay to play. But when I hear dealers being told, get off of cars.com or get off of TrueCar, and I'm like, whoa, I have a very simple philosophy and I'd love to hear your take on it. Number one, I think anytime you're going to make a change, don't cut what you're doing. If you're going to add something new, add it, watch it for 90 days, see if it actually added anything. Because if you cut something and the new thing adds it, you might think you only got 2 sales, but really you got 12, but you lost 10 from the other, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a firm believer that right now, even the strides dealers have made, customers still don't trust us in the auto industry. They do still trust Edmunds, cars.com, TrueCar. They trust those sites because even though they don't realize dealers are paying them $8,000-$10,000 a month, to a consumer, it's an unbiased resource, right? So what are your thoughts on dealers having visibility and having a presence on those third-party sites? And this, again, it's just opinion, and it's not any vendor bashing, but I'm curious to know your opinion on if a dealer tomorrow pulls off of all of those, you know, is that a bad thing, a good thing? Are they going to take a hit? I think the more places you're present, the better, as long as you're making more than you're spending. But what's your take, bro?
So, dude, that's our whole business, right, at CarBiz. That's what we do all day, every day, as we look at all of these data points. And here's what I'll say. First, you got to have historical value, right? So you have to understand where you are today. You got to look at the last 12 months and understand all the reports, all the dashboards, all the bullshit you have, exactly what has been transpiring for 12 months. As it relates to third-party leads specifically, I will say this. Each one of the what I refer to as the big three, and soon it's going to be the big four because Carfax is making some real strides to get themselves in this game. But, you know, Trader, Cars.com, Gurus, and soon to be Carfax. Those don't always work in every market area, okay? So you have to understand your market area. Then you have to understand your strategy. If you're a dealership that likes to make gross, you probably don't want to be on Car Gurus, because Car Gurus is all about the price and the badge and the this and the that, okay? But if you've got low-priced inventory that you want to move quickly, Car Gurus is probably a great place for you. Sub $15,000 inventory does very well, right? Cars.com here in the Midwest kills it. As you know, based out of Chicago, it's very odd, but the epicenter seems to perform better than those on the east or to the west. But if you go all the way out to California, Cars.com crushes it. They kill it. So you really have to understand your market area, you understand your strategy. This idea of starting with first-party leads, I don't know who started that nonsense of first-party leads in your website, but just stop it, okay? What we're trying to do is we're trying to use all of the available resources, our website and third parties, which, by the way, you need third parties at some level, okay? To walk away would be silly unless you don't sell used cars. If you're a straight-up new car franchise who's doing like 4X new to used, there's probably not a huge gain for you there. There probably isn't, because it traditionally is not a new car place. I know they all want it to be, okay? It's not at all. True Car probably more so than any of them would be new car focused, because that is their deal. They got into used later, right? Because they were like, whoa, wait a second, all this used money over here. So you have to understand your market, understand your data, and then ask yourself, why am I changing? Am I changing just to change? Because that is the dumbest thing you could possibly do, okay? Changing to change is stupid. If you have a reason to change, that's the thing you want to do. But remember, only pull one lever at a time. Think of it like a slot machine, right? They only give you one lever to pull so that you can see what happens. If there were three levers in four places, you wouldn't know where to look. So just pull the lever, watch the results, and then take a breath. Say to yourself, okay, I've seen it. Now, what am I going to do next? What did it do to impact me? One of the bigger issues I'm having right now is all of these like third-party website conversion tools, right, Matt? We're going to pick up the customers your website can't convert. Okay. All right. That's fine. Whatever. This is what's happening. These tools are just taking a dealer's 100 leads and just separating them into two separate 50-pound lead buckets. So 100 pounds of leads normally, now with the conversion tool, now I have two buckets of 50. What's happened? I spend more money and I'm not getting any more leads. That doesn't work, bro. That's not a math equation that works for you. But if you are going to use those tools, make sure you're adding that plus your chat, plus your website conversion to give yourself a true website conversion. Because if you're not looking, and don't trust the back ends of these websites, people, I'm not even joking with you. If you log on to a Cobalt website or ADP website, they're going to tell you got 700 phone calls and 400 leads last month. That's wrong, because you wouldn't be calling me if you did. So just don't trust dashboards, okay? Trust dashboards about as far as you can throw them. Personally, I got a bad back. I can't throw things that far. So I just want people to take a step back and realize that any of these vendors, their sole goal is to take your money. That's it. That's it. They want to be your partner. Okay. Look, I say I want to be your partner. I mean it, because if I want to make money, I'd go back into retail, right? I get offers every day to do that. I don't go because it's not about money for me. So there's a difference in approach. Make sure you understand your approach. Make sure you know what's important to your store. That's what's going to make the difference long term.
Well, and I think you hit it on the head. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Look, everybody's in business to make money, right? You do it because you care. Look, we just made all of the Rockstar events free for 2019. People are going, well, why in the heck would you do that? Well, a couple reasons. One, we want more dealers there. We think if we can change more lives, it changes the culture and it makes it better for everybody. But two, we want to make more money, right? If we make it free and we get more dealers to come, more vendors want to sponsor, right? I'm not Mother Teresa. We're not doing it for free. But I think if money is your only motivator, and it's kind of like going back to what you said, if you just wanted to make money, if you just wanted to do that, I'd be in a Ponzi scheme. I mean, come on. If you're, there's a lot of illegal stuff that pays really well. But the reality is you have to look at the core of it, right? So I think there are some great vendor companies out there that put in the work, but it really all comes down also to the rep you're working with, right? And I think you and I get some inside views on that because we deal with a lot of vendors, right? You'll see some companies that the company's culture is good, but they hired a bad rep, and the rep just didn't do well, didn't care about their dealers, and isn't in it for them. They're in it for themselves. And then there are companies, vendor companies out there that are good companies. They're about average across the board, but because they've got a good rep working with a dealer who cares and gets in there and helps them change things, the dealer can actually flourish, and the dealer can take strategies that have nothing to do with the vendor and flourish. So I think a lot comes back to making this, again, about the people business. You know, we talk about vendors and the dealer being their customer, and this kind of ties into what's coming up in May, because you're going to be talking about your Rockstar session is customer service first, selling second. And let's talk about that a little, because I sell, you sell. I think we do it when we're not even trying to, because we genuinely want to help and we're passionate, but we're still selling. So he's like, oh, you're such a salesperson. I'm like, I'm not freaking selling you, bro. I'm just trying to help you understand the shit you've got to do. I don't give a shit if you do it with me, but you got to do this.
But you are selling a point of view, Matt, right? Well, you're selling a point of view one way or another. We're always selling. You're right about that.
Amen. So talk to me. I don't want you to spoiler it, because I want people to come and meet you at Rockstar and hear you live and in person, because I think their lives will be changed for the better. But talk to me a little bit about your point of view on customer service being first, and what that means, and what's one massive takeaway that people are going to learn by coming and listening to your session.
Well, I touched on it earlier, but you know, I was raised in a retail environment. I've been doing it my whole life. And then on top of that, I'm also a consumer of many different goods. So I'm always in stores. I'm always, whether it's online or in retail locations, I'm always trying to pay attention to the sales process. My wife will say that I try to run or help everyone run their business better. Even if I don't work with you or know anything about you, if I watch your business run poorly, I do my best to give you free advice. I don't know why. It's just in me. It's who I am. So my goal for Rockstar is to come to the table and show people that all of this, I got to be a salesman, I got to do this, I got to do that, is actually secondary to actually being great at customer service and listening and taking away each and everything. As I said earlier, I'm going to open up my show with a quote from my boy George Z, and I'm going to show it to you guys. And the basic of the quote is that all the information you have locked in your head for whatever product you're selling, all that product knowledge you want to go spew on a customer and just get to the sale, less than 10% of people actually care about all that knowledge. The majority of people want to be treated with respect and shown the process as they see fit. And that's what I'm going to bring. I'm going to show people that I sold 25 humans a month a car. I didn't sell 25 cars a month because I don't sell cars. I sell humans what they're looking for. And I don't know shit about cars, Matt. I'm going to look you dead in the eyes and I'm going to tell you I don't know shit about cars. You know why? Every new car's got a big Maroni sticker on it. You want to look smart? Walk up and point at every other one. Now you look like a genius. What do you know about product knowledge? Nothing. I listen to my customer. My customer said safety. Look at the Maroni. It's got 4 stars for safety. It's got seat belts for this. It's got kid chairs. Good for you. Now get in the car. Let's go for a drive. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the steps people want to think have something to do with selling. They don't. They have to do with customer service. And the takeaway is going to be that if you've never sold anything in your life, but you can talk to people, I can show you how to sell anything.
I'll tell you what. I love that you just said that, because I have this as a watch party on my phone right now too. And Joshua Ackerberg said, Sean turned me into the salesman I am today when I was with Zimbrick BMW. One of the best in the business. Hey, Josh, thanks for saying that. Thanks for sharing that about Sean. Listen, you guys, Sean is one of the best in the business. He is an absolute freaking rock star. And I just shared on Facebook the link, but I would love to invite you guys to come see Sean. If you don't know this already, we made Rockstar 100% free for dealers to attend. All you have to do is go to rockstarinfo.com, which is below both of our names here. Go to rockstarinfo.com, click on the tickets link, and grab yourself a ticket. Look, if you're in a leadership role, bring your second with you. You can't do this stuff alone. Look, iron sharpens iron. These dialogues like Sean and I are having, you know, we would have the same conversation if you guys weren't watching, right? Because this kind of stuff helps everybody grow, helps us grow. So bring somebody else with you. If you're a BDC person, internet person, if you're not the person leading the dealership, but you want to come, click on the future leader ticket, but go grab one of your sales managers, your GM, your GSM, get them to come with you. It's 100% free to attend. It's cheap to fly to Vegas, and you stay at the venue, the D Hotel and Casino, D for Detroit, thed.com. Right now, rooms are $30 a night during the Rockstar event, so get on there and get your tickets booked for that as well. Sean, I know we're getting ready to wrap it up. Would you do me a favor? Would you please tell everybody, I know the number one way is come meet you in person at Rockstar, but if somebody wants to do business with you, they say, hey, man, I want to get to know Sean better. I want to know more about what his company does. Tell them how they can do that, and then share any last thoughts, final thoughts you have before we wrap up, bro.
Well, before I do that, let me just touch on this. As it relates to the Rockstar Conference, man, I got to tell you, it was one of those events that we went to that we hadn't done before, and it was great, man. You guys do a single room, and when you're talking about these conversations, if you're a dealer going to show up to these shows, these conversations are happening whenever someone's not on the main stage, man. The professionals all sit there. You know, for the most part, I mean, obviously there are people who just roll in to speak and roll out, but the majority of us will be there for the event. I don't speak till day two. I'm going to be there for the majority of day one because it's important to me to be around dealers, to hear their feedback, to see what they're saying, and to engage with them upon questions. And if you are going to be coming for leadership, this is not my plug. This is a plug for the show. Sean too, or Sean Kelly will be in attendance. And if you guys want to talk about leadership or you want to talk about those parts of things, I'm not your guy for that, really. I'm not much of a leader. I'm more of a talker. But Sean, that dude's a leader. He gets it, okay? And he's going to help. He's going to help a lot of people. So the events kick ass. You guys should go. Now that it's free, it's like no-brainer, right? We did the event before the new year, Matt. We got a couple of people that won free hotel and everything. You know, that's going to be awesome. Couple of guys coming down from Canada. I know a lot of people have talked about going, but guys, talk is cheap. Let's sign up. Below, get it, make it happen. Guys, you can find me all over LinkedIn, Sean Welsh. I go under the moniker of Car Biz Done Better. I know, Sean, put up a profile picture. No, this is my profile. This is who I am. So you're lucky you're not just staring at a screen with this logo only on it, because that was my first idea. All right, but I get it. So you'll find me on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. Matt knows we're on Facebook. Look for Car Biz Done Better on Facebook, though, damn it. Do not look for me. It's going to show my face. That's only so I can have that stupid business page. So don't comment on that wall. Don't do shit on that wall. I don't even know what a wall is, but don't go there because it ain't good for you. All right. So you'll find my podcast, 5 minutes with Sean, maybe 10. Matt's been on it. Matt loved it. We do a show every week, every Monday. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to record Mondays after this. Guys, check it out. We're on YouTube. Car Biz Done Better. If you just type in Sean Welsh plus Car Biz, B-I-Z, Done Better, I literally own 2 pages of real estate. So anything that you want to see or learn about, unless one of these new people is trying to paid search, you know, conquest me, Matt, which I guess is possible. But and if you're conquesting me, you're welcome, because we created this niche. So welcome to the party, and good luck being second behind us. So come on, come to the show, have fun, find me wherever. I'll give you the best way to get a hold of me, because no one ever does this. 262-278-0157. That is my cell phone. That will ring my phone. It will interrupt conversations like these, and I will answer. Or you can text it, and I will reply. I will give you my phone number. If you don't like what I said, call me. Let's talk about it. If you do like it, call me. Let's talk about that.
Sean, listen, I want to say, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today, brother. I knew that you were going to drop gold nuggets all over the place. And just by listening to this, if people aren't going back and making their dealership better, then they didn't pay a lick of attention, dude. Love you, brother. We appreciate every single thing you do for Rockstar. And a lot of people don't know this, so I want to put this out there. But people like Sean, all the folks speaking at Rockstar, Coach Sherry Wynn, Lisa Copeland, Kendrick, Katie, Frank Lopes, Velco, Rudy is coming out, as you know him, as El Patron, to do a roundtable. Christian Jorn, Sean Kelly, Anthony Santangelo, every one of these dynamite speakers, Carrie Wise from True Car, Michelle Denosian from Roadster, all of these folks are speaking for free. Every one of them. Sean is coming out on his own dime to give you knowledge. And this is something, he's not a sponsor. It's not a paid thing. He's coming out because he genuinely cares about seeing the car biz get done better. So come out and see him. Thank you, Sean, for everything you do, man. We appreciate you. We love you, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Matt, you're welcome, man. Thank you for having me. And the last thing I'll leave you with is our goal, as I'm sure Matt's is I want to leave this industry better than I found it. And events like Rockstar help us do that. So if you actually give a shit about this event, and I'll quote my guy Jay from 360 Booth, if you just give a little bit of a shit, we can all make a difference. So please do it, and we look forward to seeing you in Vegas. Matt, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you guys for watching. And remember, no matter where you're at in your business or your life, you're just one moment away from being where you want to be. So go out there and make your day and someone else's amazing. Thanks, Sean. We'll see you, bro. My name is Matt Kingman.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you've probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change. We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories.
The one thing that I think will always set me apart, dude, when we started CarBiz, by the way, May 1st, 6-year CarBiz anniversary, man. Woo, way to be. Look, over the time, I started out 6 years ago, I wanted to not be a consultant, right? I kept saying, don't call me a consultant. Don't put me in that box. I'm not that person because I wanted to set us apart because we're not consultants, man. I'm here to tell you the truth. Consultants typically are here to get a paycheck or to follow a narrative of whoever they work for. And if they work by themselves, unless they've been doing this 10, 15 years, they're not going to be well-rounded enough to really bring it to the table, my opinion, right? So I think what has to happen, the word consultant is so overused, and we're data verifiers, man, at CarBiz. That's what we do. We work with vendors and dealers to understand the data and communicate it out. But what we always do, first and foremost, is we be honest all the time. I'll tell my dealers, like, Sean, look, I've got a lead problem. Yeah, well, it looks to me like you have a selling problem, right? So you want to be honest with people about their problems. And I'm not going to pull any punches. Whatever I would say to your face, I would say behind your back, or I would say to the people you work for. It doesn't make a difference to me. I don't like drawing comparisons that, oh, well, you know, you should tell this audience this and that audience that. No, no, no. You should tell everyone the truth. Period, plain and simple. And it's going to be hard to hear, but I don't back it up with, hey, I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't do any of that shit. I'm trying to be honest. Here's what it is. Here's the truth. I don't want to back it up with like a backhanded compliment or even a, like I said, you know, I don't mean to be this. You do mean to be that. So just say it and be it. And if people can't accept it, that's okay. You could probably imagine, Matt, like yourself, maybe. I don't have a ton of people that like love me, right? That like love what I do because it's based in honesty. And then those are people who, look, they were probably called out. They probably weren't doing something right. And I said it. And so, of course, I look like the jerk, but I'd rather look like the jerk to a vendor than look like a jerk to my client, right? So those are my rules. And I work really hard at making sure that we pay attention to all the details that the client can't or won't pay attention to. So, yeah, man, it's about passion, dude. People always say to me all the time, Sean, I did the Innovative Dealer Summit recently. And one of the people who did a review about the show was like, oh, Sean's really cool, but he's got to lay off the drugs, right? And I was like, oh, interesting. Did I make a drug? Because I make drug jokes all the time. But my point was that the joke was I don't use caffeine. I don't use uppers. And you'd be shocked at the amount of downers I use to keep me where I am, right? And I think this person's point was they thought I was all railed out. They thought I just showed up to the show, just like, yeah, let's go. Like, but that's who I am. I wake up at 7 a.m. or I go to bed at midnight. That's the same human. So it's just important that people be who they are. I was joking with somebody the other day, like, live your best life. Like, I know that's totally overused, cliche, stupid thing to say. But in my world, it relates because my best life is me being honest, running my own business, being with my wife, and keeping my family the way that it is and affording them the lifestyle that they have. So that is my best life.
Dude, I love that about you. Now, it's funny because it's funny you said that. Sean's cool, but he needs to lay off the drugs. You know, it's funny because it seems like maybe in the past couple of years, you know, like I assume, like you, I assume you've been this way the majority of your life, right? You're just straight shooter, taking a little bit, right? I'm not out there to, you know, trying to. I value honesty over social value, right? And you do too. And one of the things, you know, a couple of years ago, well, in about 2009, I think it was, I read 2009 or 10, I read Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. And it resonated with me so much because I felt like this. I felt like I was talking to someone like me, right? Someone who's just like brutally honest, whatever. And I loved it. Now, fast forward time, we had Gary V do an Ask Gary V show at our first Rockstar. And so we started talking Gary V into automotive, like talking about Gary. And now, fast forward time to the last couple of years, it seems like an abundance of people who used to be very buttoned up and very, you know, not for nothing, but very polished, all of a sudden, they're all fucking Gary Vaynerchuk, right? They all sound like you, me, and Frank Lopes because it's cool to be edgy now, apparently, in the car business. Right. Now, let me ask you, because, you know, sorting shit from Shinola, Sean, right? Let's talk about getting real with people because, I one of the best things Mike Cirillo posted was there's so many people living their best fake lives on Facebook. One of the best quotes I ever heard because it's true, right? It's funny because it's true. Talk to me about the pros and I don't see a lot of cons personally to this, but talk to me about, let's talk about dealers and their struggles. What's the real talk, the stuff that over and over again you see dealers doing that is just ruining their freaking business? What would you say are like the top two things that you're like, every time I walk in a dealer, I see this or this, and it never fails. These guys are just screwing themselves with this dumb stuff.
Yeah, dude, I just did I was at a digital dealer and I saw you guys out there. I spoke on day one and this is exactly what I talked about. There are two things that stand out to me as the biggest issues in dealerships that has not changed in this, my 22nd year doing this shit. It has not changed. Number one, people in process. Okay. Most dealerships just, you think you have a GM or you think you have management crew that is doing things the way you want. They're not, you're not inspecting. No one's inspecting anything and we're all assuming. So people in process is still the issue. But the bigger issue amongst all this is stop fucking with people's pay plans, Matt. We've got to knock it off. I did this whole session on it. Guys came up to me afterwards and they're like, Sean, look, you got to change pay plans and here's why. And they cited, I shit you not, here's what they cited. 9/11 and the recession of 2008. Well, okay, all right. So if you want to take it to the extreme, yeah, okay, fine. There are two reasons to change pay plans: catastrophic events and more catastrophic events. Other than that, that was the only thing he had for me. And I was like, well, dude, those are kind of two specific events that led us to this. And he's like, look, man.
A decade ago and 2 decades ago, for God's sakes.
Right. And I worked through both of them. I was in the car business in both moments in retail establishments, dude. So don't tell me what you had to do or didn't have to do. I worked for a Chicago dealer that changed our pay plans the up way, bro. Never in my life has that ever happened. Post 9/11, he started giving his people more money because his showroom was vacant. That is not something dealers do. And so for me, I want you to stop screwing with the money and stop siloing your dealerships. Okay. When I started in the internet department in 1998, siloing, here's what I mean. When you talk silo, you talk about when I started, they put me in a BDC office, right? The internet office, which was a closet you used to keep shit in with no windows, gave me a fax machine, a computer, told me to figure out Auto Trader, all right? And faxed internet leads, all right? So we do that. We figure it out. Now all of a sudden I become the internet department. So inside the dealership, I'm over here. The desk is here. Upper management's over here. And what? No one's communicating. Everyone's supposed to be siloed and working their own job. Silos are killing dealerships. I'm so tired of hearing people talk about, well, Sean, I got to have an internet sales floor. What the fuck does that even mean? What, you mean you need to have a sales floor of people who talk to other people who were on the internet before they went to buy a car? Guys, you remember when we used to quote the statistic? Oh, X amount of people percentage-wise were on the internet before they went to your dealership. Okay, you can assume that number is now 99.8 fucking percent. Move on with your lives. Seriously, like, stop with the internet sales departments. It's not about any of that. It's about time and respect of the customer. That's it. Digital retail is a stupid buzzword that's going to change nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. will digital retail change in today's environment? The only way to change this problem is from the neck up. Dealerships have to change their mindset and their approach to handling dealers. We were delivering cars in Colorado in 2003. We were doing finance apps online. We were sending paperwork. What is this Carvana bullshit? You're going to change the world? No, no, no. You're not going to do that. What Carvana did was exploit dealers' weakness to change. Every time you see a – you and I talked about this in Nashville.
Oh, there you are.
I shut it off this time, goddammit. So here's what happens, right? You have the Carvana billboard. It says buy a car in your underwear, whatever it says, right? Don't leave your house. I implore my dealers, if you live in those areas and you see a billboard, put one across the street, say I can do the same thing and service your car, because they can't. So get your act together. Stop being afraid of disruption, another stupid word we all overuse in this industry.
Yes.
And start realizing that you're part of the problem, not the solution. And when you're part of the solution, it will all get better.
So I love that you brought up that, because let's talk about it a little, because we have similar views on most of that, but we have some like differing views. Like, I love that companies like Carvana, like Fair, have come out, and I do hate buzzwords. Be a disruptor. I hate those words too. But I love that those companies have come out, and I'll tell you why I love it. Because I think it forces dealers to do the shit they should already be wanting to do, right? Like, anything that a third party digital like a Carvana does, right? And listen, I don't hate on them. They found a niche, they went after it. Good on them. And I agree with you. I think dealers need to go, oh, why am I not doing that as well, right? I mean, it's easy to just do what you said. Pop a billboard, run some ads, say, hey, shop in your underwear. And here's the biggest kicker, though, that I see. And so this is what I want to dig into with you. I agree. I like that those companies came out, because I think it's kind of like when people were talking about millennials, and it pissed me off so much. I did a session on this, a digital dealer, and I said, stop. It's just the year they were born. Stop. Just quit it. Quit saying, oh, we got to change everything for person X. Just be a good person to everybody. Respect everybody, regardless of the year they were born. But here's the thing where I've seen dealers really fall short in trying to compete with those outside parties. And it typically comes on the trade, in the way the customers treat it. Because on the Carvana aspect or the whatever aspect, what a consumer is seeing is, it's all about whatever you want. You do it your way, and we'll say okay. CarMax started that too, with a walk around the lot. No one's going to come out and bother you. Do whatever you want. So I see two areas, and I'd love for you to speak to both of them. One, why are dealers having such a hard time just letting go of the freaking reins and allowing the customer to shop and walk around and find what they want? So why do dealers have a struggle with that? And why, with all the freaking technology and dealers buying cars online at auction without touching them, why in the hell won't they just do the same thing and throw a number to a customer on a sight unseen car too? Why are dealers just sticking their head in the dirt on two things that seem easy as hell to me?
So Matt, it has to do with those two relate to the same thing. It has to do with tradition. And there's nothing, that's just the tradition of the business. People can't get out of their own way about it. But here's the reality of it, dude. You're right. These companies, Affair and Carvana, they have helped dealers get pushed in the right direction. Otherwise, they're going to get passed by, right? But what I tell people, when people talk to me about digital retail tools, right, like the Roadsters of the world or whatever, like get it on my site, get me more leads, blah, blah, blah. First question I ask a dealer is, hey, are you willing to sell a car and appraise a trade over the phone? No. Then why would you sign up for a digital tool for an anonymous user you'll never meet or see who's going to pencil their own deal? Like, seriously, you need to, step one, negotiate over the phone. Step two, be willing to do everything online or over the phone. That's all we were doing back in 2003, bro. This is not – it's just – all technology has done to our industry is make us lazy, Matt. Lazy, okay? In 1998, guess what I did not have? A CRM or a BDC. I did not have either of those. Do you know what I would do if I had those? I'd probably be an owner of the stores I started working for originally in 98, because it would have made things 100 times easier. So we've got lazy people because of technology. I just sat at a dealership the other day on a Friday, hanging out, watching everything go on. You know, I saw less than one person out of 10 ups go on a test drive. Homeboy. Well, here's what's happened. We've just taken tech and we've just assumed it's going to fix our broken ass process. And it's not. It's going to be worse, dude.
Yeah, but let's talk about this, because this is the thing that just chaps my ass, bro. Technology has given us the ability to talk to more people, talk to them faster, talk to them easier, get information easier before they come in. Now we could give them a figure and literally do everything but sign the title to buy their car. I hear dealers crying about the auctions. Cars are bringing brain damage, man. Flood cars are getting up here in the north, and they're getting title washed. None of that shit happens when you buy from private owners if you just have the balls to pull the trigger when somebody says, hey, I've got a 2014 Honda Accord. I want to trade it in. What's it worth? Stop going, well, I don't know what it's worth until you drive it in and I smell it, right, and I touch it and I lick the steering wheel. Pull your head out of your ass. You just bought four cars at the auction that you can't see, touch, or smell, and it's a freaking 480p camera from 30 feet away that you're only seeing the roof, and you bought that car. Why not buy it from the local buyer who's got a clean title? It's not a flood car from Texas. What in the hell, man? Like, I love technology because of what it allows us to do. What I hate is that exactly what you said is happening over and over and over